Sad news comes out of Baltimore tonight. I read Small Spaces, and I want to talk about this book that I purchased on a whim. It's a thriller, and it's about a realtor. Welcome to Ceri Reads. I'm so grateful and so thankful that you stopped by. Extremely sad news comes out of Baltimore tonight as 6 workers are presumed dead after a crippled cargo ship knocked down the Baltimore Bridge. 6 workers were missing and presumed dead from a bridge that collapsed in Baltimore Harbor early Tuesday after a massive cargo ship crippled by a power loss rammed into the structure, forcing the closure of one of the busiest ports on the U.S. Eastern Seaboard. With dive teams facing increasingly treacherous conditions in the darkened, wreckage-strewn waters, active search and rescue operations were suspended about 18 hours after the accident, according to the U.S. Coast Guard and Maryland State Police officials. Now, the Singapore-flagged container vessel named Dolly was heading out of Baltimore Harbor, bound for Sri Lanka, and it plowed into a support pillar of the Francis Scott Key Bridge at about 1:30 a.m. on Tuesday. Now, let's see, about 1.6 miles worth of bridge immediately crumpled into the icy water, which sent vehicles and people into the river. Now, this is extremely tragic. The rescuers pulled 2 survivors to safety, one of whom was hospitalized, and then the 6 that were missing and now presumed dead were a part of a work crew filling potholes on the road surface of the bridge. This is according to officials. Now, as sad as this is, that's what I was going to say earlier before I gave more details about who was missing. It could have been worse because, according to Maryland Governor Wes Moore, the ship reported a power failure before impact, which enabled officials to stop traffic on the bridge before the collapse. So they were able to stop more cars from being on the bridge and more people from being on the bridge than those who were already there. And the governor says, by being able to stop cars from coming over the bridge, these people are heroes. They saved lives last night. Now, according to the governor, the bridge was up to code and no known structural issues were there before the ship ran into it. Now, there was also no evidence of foul play. This story is extremely sad, and I heard about it earlier, and I was really, I'm one of those people who hope for the best even when it doesn't look good, and I was really hoping that I was hoping for the best. And so, very sorry to the family members and friends of those who are presumed dead. The Coast Guard says that they are planning to do presume, but it's more so of a, it's not search and rescue when they're just searching for the bodies. I think it's just recovery, something like that. So please keep Baltimore in your prayers tonight. Very sad news. Now, it's not often that I give a book rec on the podcast in 1 week and then come back the next week and talk about it, but this is one of those not often times. I recommended Small Spaces by, let me, I want to get her name right, Catherine Arden last week. And I said, you know, the thing that caught my attention was this school bus on the cover, and it looked like it was surrounded by all type of creepiness. And that is what grabbed my attention. And let me just say, this book is not a five-star book. It's not a five-star book. I wouldn't give it that. I would definitely say, though, it did keep my attention. And the reason why I didn't give it a five-star book is because of the writing was definitely geared towards, or is definitely geared towards, sixth graders. And so me as an adult reading it, it's like, okay, this is not really my forte, but it is a good story to have out in the world. Now, before I really just like go off the rockers, I'm always going backwards in my notes. Let me just tell you a little bit about what Small Spaces is about. So Small Spaces is the story of, I want to get this little girl's name right, Ollie. Her name is Olivia, but she goes by Ollie, and she has suffered a tragic loss. She's 11 years old, and her mother passed away in such a horrific accident. She was in a plane accident, and the only thing that remains for Ollie is this broken watch that her mother was wearing that day. And so Ollie wears it all the time so that she can feel close to her mother. Now, this is significant because the watch actually ends up helping Ollie and her friends in the end. And what do I mean by helping them? Why does Ollie and her friends, why do they need help? Well, there are these scarecrows who are really people who have been taken hostage by the smiling man. And so it's basically like making a deal with the devil. The smiling man offers you whatever your heart's desire is, but it's not free. It comes at a price. And the price is ultimately that you will serve him for the rest of your days. And serving him means that you are turned into a scarecrow. And so in the beginning, we run into this deranged, crazy woman who is telling Ollie that, oh, I have to do what he says and everything like that. And he's told this woman that she needs to get rid of this book that was written by, we find out later, someone that he doesn't have control over because she wrote the book. And Ollie, who is an avid book reader, she is a lover of books. It's like, you cannot just throw away a book like that. That is blasphemous. And so Ollie steals the book from the woman. She risks her little life to do that because the woman is clearly, you know, according to Ollie, off her rockers. And that book, and coupled with her mother's broken watch, which comes to life to help her, is how Ollie and her friends, well, they really weren't her friends, but they turned out to be her friends a little bit later, how they end up escaping and not being turned into scarecrows. And the one thing that is connects the dots is that Ollie and her friends are instructed to hide in small places, or small spaces rather. They are told, you know, if you stay out in the open, that's how you get snatched. But if you find these small spaces, they cannot get to you in those places. And so that's exactly what Ollie and her friends do. They hang out in small places, spaces at night, and they move by the day because they find out that the scarecrows really can't do a whole lot in the light. They have to be in the darkness to really operate. And so we're met with this tale. Now, I think I said last week that this tale gives me Halloween vibes. I was so right about that, because this is definitely a book that is meant for Halloween. And also, it is creepy. It is creepy, and it is written, I feel like it's written with sixth grade students in mind, as I said a few minutes ago. But at the same time, if you are like if you have a kid and they are like kind of like jump scare, you know, you may not want them to read this, especially not in the dark, because I could see how that could turn into nightmares for the babies. But nevertheless, I was able to finish this book almost in one sitting. So it's definitely something that keeps your attention going. It grabs your attention, and it keeps it for pretty much the duration. It does get off to a slow start. I was kind of a little bored, and it didn't start really picking up to about 30 pages in. And then there is like an aspect of the book where it's like, okay, we get it. The scarecrows. Is anything else going to happen in this book? And I think that's mainly because, like, I felt that way because it really wasn't written for me. It was written for, as I said, 11-year-olds. I want to say maybe 10-year-olds. It's just a little too creepy for smaller children. I feel that way. But it was written with middle school kids in mind. And so I feel like it would captivate them. It would hold their attention. But if you're older and you're reading it, if you're in high school and you're reading this book, I don't think this is going to really keep your attention too much. But you never know. So, Small Places by Katherine Arden. Check it out from the library, or you can just take a risk and you can buy it. All right? All right. I am not reading this book right now, but I wanted to talk about it anyway because I was sitting in the parking lot of the Panda Express in Gardena, California. That's the one with the drive-thru, and it was on a rainy day. And I came across this book on Instagram. I think it was like promoting it. And it was captivating to me just what this book is about. I'm someone who absolutely loves Lifetime stories. The domestic life fascinates me, suburbia, all of these things. And so this book gave all of those vibes. And then, of course, it had the thriller aspect on top of it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to purchase this book. I'm going to spend, it was on sale, so I have to be frank, it wasn't like, no matter the cost, it was 99 cents. And I was like, I'm going to spend all of my 99 pennies on this book, just on a whim. And that's what I did. I bought the Kindle version of The Realtor by Sonia Bateman. And so I'm not start reading it. I'm actually reading something else right now. I'm actually reading a few things right now. But I did want to recommend it because I do plan to pick this book up. This looks like something that is going to keep my attention through probably, this looks like something that I probably won't be able to put down, which is why I haven't picked it up yet. It is 213 pages, and it says Unputdownable Psychological Thrillers. So this is apparently a part of a series that Kindle is doing. And let me just read to you what it is about. Actually, I didn't buy this book. I'm sorry. I borrowed it on Kindle Unlimited. Okay, but it was on sale for like 99 cents. So that's deep. Anyway, I'm a single mom. This is the summary. I'm a single mom. I provide for my little girl by selling people their dream homes. But one moment will shatter everything I've built. It's my daughter's first day of kindergarten, and she's a bubble of excitement as I drop her off. All I can think about is how our little life is finally on track. But then I bump into an old friend at the school gates. She tells me that my college boyfriend, Brad Dowling, has woken up from his coma after 5 years. No one ever thought he'd wake up, least of all me. In fact, I built my life around believing he was never coming back, that I was safe. faith. One way or another, my carefully constructed, mostly stable life is about to fall apart. And then I get a text. I know what you did. Murderer. This absolutely gripping psychological thriller is perfect for fans of Freda McFadden, Valerie Keough, Karen Slaughter, and Aunt Anya Mora. And this is the revised edition of The Life She Stole. Oh, this is interesting. So there's like another book out there called The Life She Stole. And so, yeah, now I have to go and like look for The Life She Stole. Oh my gosh. Okay. So the thing that grabs my attention about this book is, again, like I said, Lifetime movie club vibes all day long. And because I feel like this book is going to be in the first person, and I really love first person accounts. So that is The Realtor by Sarah Bateman. You can purchase it on Kindle. It is still 99 cents to buy. It's $7.99 for paperback. And if you have Kindle Unlimited and you can just do like me and just borrow it from the Kindle Unlimited library, even though I thought I bought it for 99 cents. Okay, but either way, I just want to say, even if you do the Kindle Unlimited, that is still supporting the author. So don't feel like it's not. All right. The Realtor, Sarah Bateman. So last week I made a promise to you that I was going to delve more into the movie sphere because it is artistry and books are forever king, but movies have a place as well. And so today, last week I talked about Leave the World Behind, which was actually based on a book. It's on Netflix. And today I want to talk about Single Black Female. So it's directed by Sherry L. Carpenter. Now, I thought this film, I watched this film on Lifetime a while back. It came out February 5th, 2022. That's probably when I watched it. And I thought this film was based on the book. There's a book called Single Black Female, and it's by the late Tracy Brown. And I read the summary of the book and was like, that's not what the film is about at all. And then I looked further into the beauty of reading. Now, the film, Single Black Female, which stars Amber Riley, Raven Goodwin, and Devale Ellis. I know I'm not saying his name correctly. This is how often I don't watch films. Now, this was actually inspired by the 1992 film Single White Female. I was blown away. Whoa. I'm telling you, the things you learn when you read. Okay, so in honor of that, I want to recommend both of these films. I have not watched Single White Female yet, but I will definitely look for it and try to watch it. Now, Single Black Female, the summary is that Monica, who is Raven Goodwin, looks for a fresh start as she tries to land a gig as the host of an afternoon talk show. She soon becomes close friends with her new assistant, Simone, who is Amber Riley, a deranged woman who plans to take over Monica's life for good. Now, Simone, it's important to note that Simone is actually Monica's half sister, because Monica's father, who I think was like the mayor of the town, or he was like some like political big deal, passes away, and Monica is daddy's little girl and everything like that. So she is just like, just so hurt and in pain. And as it turns out, Simone is actually the child that her father, that Monica's father, had out of wedlock. And of course, like, Monica's mother knew about it, tried to kind of hide it because, you know, that's embarrassing. This was the vibe of the film. And so because, you know, Simone was born of an affair. So that's, oh my gosh, that's major taboo. And Simone is trying to build this relationship and just basically trying to get what she believes is hers, because Monica is well off and everything like that. Of course she is. And so Simone wants a piece of that pie too, and it doesn't work out. And Simone has like major psychological issues going on. And so it's really a good film. I don't know if it's available on Lifetime right now. It says that you could watch this on Hulu as well. So, you know, if you're interested in that. But I really enjoyed it. You know, I enjoy practically every Lifetime film. Now, Single White Female came out in 1992. And it is directed by Barbette Schroeder. Ooh, I hope I said your name correctly. I'm sorry. And this film says, the summary reads, having recently split from fiancé Sam Rawson, Steven Weber, oh, and I should say who stars in it, I'm sorry, Jennifer Jason Leigh and Bridget Fonda and Steven Weber are the main stars in this film. Okay, so having recently split from fiancé Sam Rawson, who is Steven Weber, Allison Jones, Bridget Fonda welcomes new roommate Hedra Carlson, Jennifer Jason Leigh. The young women quickly form a bond, but as Allison starts to rethink her engagement, Hedra grows jealous and hostile. As Allison learns new details about her roommate's life, Hedra gets violent in her efforts to get Sam out of the picture. With Hedra turning more menacing by the minute, Allison finally understands what she's up against. And as I said, I've not watched this film, so I can't give you a whole lot of detail on it. But it looks like we can watch this on YouTube for $3.59, Google Play Movies for $3.59, Apple TV, Fandango at home. I would definitely not be watching it on Fandango at home. And so that is Single White Female. And both of these are thriller and mystery, bone chilling type of thing. So it seems like that's what we're talking about. That's the vibe for this week. Whoa, that's wild. But nevertheless, I hope that you watch a film. I hope that more so you pick up a book, pick up an article, and enjoy these spring days. But I do hope to see you in a bookstore, in a library, somewhere where books are king. And also, hopefully, we can really kind of get into these films. I'm kind of enjoying this vibe. What? All right, but I will see you next week. Bye.